This morning we turn to Psalm 131 for the reading of God's Word. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We are talking and have been talking over the last few weeks about finding our rest in the Lord. And as we continue this theme this month, we have come this morning to Psalm 131, one of the, what is called the Songs of Ascent, which was probably sung by the Israel as they would go up to Jerusalem for some of the feasts, or at least sung by the Levite singers as they would go up into the temple. Psalm 113 is a beautiful picture of the blessings that are ours in the gospel, a soul at rest and at peace in the Lord's presence. This morning, I'm not going to follow the outline in your book. I'm going to be a little more brief, but I want to simply point out this morning two ways that I think we often misread this psalm as it is commended to us to learn and to sing as God's people. First, I think we often misread this psalm when we think that it shows to us David as a man of great and unusual faith. That he was a real saint, unlike us who struggle through life, unlike us who have not achieved that same level of sainthood that he obviously did because he experiences this calm and this peace. But to read the psalm in that way is to lift up David and his great faith as unique and special is to miss the point of this psalm and how it fits within our understanding of the gospel. It's not something different. It is a fruit of the gospel. David is showing us a picture of the grace of God at work in his life, the grace of God who brings ruined sinners into his embrace. In the gospel, the psalm shows us the power and grace of our God who brings sinners home and on whom he pours out his love and care, even though we are undeserving of it. And we see that because David speaks of being like a weaned child with his mother. And that's a key part of understanding this psalm. For it tells us this peace that David is experiencing as he sings this song is not natural to himself, not his first orientation in life, but instead it has been learned. It has been a hard-won peace. It has come after the Lord has subdued his heart and brought him to a place of humble trust. And that means it has only come after a process of spiritual weaning that the Lord has done, weaning him from his own self-reliance and his own natural inclinations of his heart, which has kept his life in turmoil. This peace in Psalm 131 comes only after living through the kinds of turbulence and turmoil he describes in the previous song, which is a series to be sung together, where he talks about being cast down and feeling like he's in the depths without hope, and he learns to trust in the Lord in the midst of his trials and troubles. This peace in Psalm 131 only comes having been weaned from himself and his self-centeredness. You see, a child, when it's born, begins in a very self-centered way, a self-centered being in many ways, is it not? Focused entirely on getting what it wants to survive. Now, there's a reality, a need for that. We understand that. But look at that young child demanding what it desires, whatever it desires, as if it is in control, as if it determines what is necessary, as if the parent's existence is only to supply what it wants, or it will not be satisfied. And so if it's desire, if it's denied those desires that it feels that it needs, what will it do? It will continue to cry and fuss and clamor to get exactly what he wants. And he will not rest, will not quiet himself until he's content, until those needs, those desires are satisfied. He wants what he wants, when he wants it, or he will protest because he thinks he has to get it when he needs, when he wants it, or everyone around him will suffer. You see, David is not telling us here that he naturally trusts in the Lord, but that he has learned it. And that young child, unweaned, is a good picture of us in many ways, isn't it? Even after we come to faith, we often still struggle with this. We demand God to submit to our desires. We cry and we fuss and we clamor, seeking to force God to give us what we want, when we want it, or we'll not be at peace. We want him to fulfill our desires, to give us what we want before we're content. Or we'll protest and we'll cry and we'll wrestle and we'll continue to shout out until he provides what we want, or we say he doesn't care about us at all. David knows the need, this natural tendency of his heart too, even as we see it at work in our own, like this unweaned child. You remember Bathsheba, right? Uriah, her lawful husband. David's natural mind was to grasp what he wanted for himself, to exalt himself over others, to take what he wanted when he wanted it. He wanted to be in supreme control. He wanted to live as if he was in charge, as if his desires and the lusts of his flesh ruled supreme. And so the Lord had to wean David of himself, to enter this Psalm 131 rest. David had to be brought by the Spirit, working like a parent does in our natural lives, working like that parent to bring us to a point of seeing that God himself is the true authority in our life. That God is Almighty Lord of infinite power, who alone rules in the world and alone rules in my life. He has to come to see that his attempt to make his own rules and to follow his own desires and his own clamoring for those desires has brought him under the just wrath of this holy God, a condemned sinner. Look at what he says in Psalm 51. His own desires have simply led to his condemnation before this holy God. And David had to learn who was in charge. And David also, as he's being weaned, had to be brought by the Spirit to the point of seeing that God is not only Almighty God, but also merciful and gracious God. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast and faithfulness God. Who would love him and who did love him so much that he would forgive his sin and pardon his iniquity and keep him in his embrace and work all things out for his good as he turned to the Lord in faith and confessed his sin and turned from his wicked ways and looked to the Lord for his salvation. That he followed a God whose love was ultimately demonstrated in its full measure in the gospel, in the sending of his own Son into the world to win that peace for us on the cross by his own blood. And so now David says, when he says that he is a child with its mother, like a weaned child, he says he has come to this place of calm and quiet because he has been spiritually weaned to trust in the Lord and no longer in himself. And that has brought him peace, peace with God and peace in his life. A second thing, and a second way in which I think we tend to misread the psalm. First, we misread it when we think that this is just showing us David as some supreme saint who just naturally is calm in life. No. We also misread this psalm when we think that to hope in the Lord, when he tells us in the last verse, O Israel, speaking to all of us, to the church and the Old Testament saints, but also to us in the new, hope in the Lord. We misread the psalm when we think that he's calling us simply to do nothing. That faith is totally inactive. Now, there is an aspect of faith that is inactive. We cannot achieve our own salvation. We can't save ourselves. We cast ourselves solely on the mercy of God, which is a free gift received by faith. But that does not mean that faith remains inactive. David is not telling us just give up and do nothing, and one day God will miraculously cause you to wake up and be happy no matter what you face. It's not what David means here when he says to hope in the Lord. In fact, I think he means something quite different. Notice that he says in verse 2, I have calmed and quieted my soul. That's an action that he is doing. It flows out of the gospel, but he is called to something here that leads to him being quiet and at peace before the Lord. I have calmed and quieted my soul. Now, what does that mean for David? What does that look like for David? Well, David is a king in Israel. And what the kings of Israel were supposed to do, if you looked at Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20, Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20, I don't know if David did this, but what he's instructed there is what the king of Israel was supposed to do. It would be easy to become proud and haughty. The kings of the world, powers around them were proud and haughty people. But the king of Israel was supposed to do this. He was supposed to humble himself and place himself under God's rule first. Before he ruled others, he placed himself under God. And then he would have to act according to the law and the word of that God, of his God, so that there would be blessing. Each new king was supposed to show that. This is what the Deuteronomy lays out. By writing out by hand a full copy of the law. By that, they were supposed to be saying that they are devoting themselves to learning it carefully, to knowing what it said, to knowing its warnings and threatenings, to knowing its directions and way. And then they were supposed to keep that with them as they governed. They were supposed to act and guide and govern according to it. It was to be their guidance and their policy. It was a demonstration that the king's rule would not think that it was based on his own power, his own wisdom, or anything in himself, but that blessing would only be found as he did the hard work of learning the ways of the Lord and of choosing to live by them. It didn't make him the king, but blessing to himself and his people would come as he would learn that. And so Deuteronomy 17 tells us in verse 20 two reasons that he was to do that. It was so that his heart would not be lifted up against above his brothers. His heart would not be lifted up above his brothers. And that he would not turn aside from the commandments, either to the right or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. And you see, that's exactly what David is confessing here in Psalm 131. And that's exactly what David is calling on us in verse 3 to do as well when we hope in the Lord. He's actually saying that we will find rest for our souls only when we learn to submit ourselves to the Lord and to learn His ways and to follow Him. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly or humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, David is showing us the process of growth and maturity in our faith. He's teaching us to sing about it. It starts when the Lord brings us to initial faith, where we confess our sin before Him and see the hope in the gospel, and we flee to Christ and we put our faith in Him, we call on His name and we confess Him to be for others. It starts there, but it remains an ongoing process of grace in our life. That darkness and that sin is so deeply rooted in us. One day, yes, this will describe, Psalm 131 describes our entire being and entire life at rest in the Lord in our glorified state. But for now, the Spirit continues to work and exposes areas that are not fully submitted to Him, exposes areas where we're still being weaned and are fighting against Him and we don't want His desires, we want our own. And He shows us the need to humble ourselves and put ourselves again in His merciful hands, and to confess our sins and find grace, but also to learn His ways and to begin to choose His ways. An ongoing process in which He is training us through which to enter that peace more and more as He more and more makes us like Himself. To hope in the Lord now and forever. Again, as we saw last week, that faith and that hope is exemplified and best demonstrated in the life and attitude of our Savior, God's great Messiah King. I think we see it there in the garden. Here is the sinless Son of God. He's not falling into sin as He wrestles and He says His soul is troubled. But what He's doing is, in a careful way, in His flesh, that isn't sinful, but in His flesh, he's troubled. And He's facing difficulty. What? There is nothing in Him that wants to choose to have the Father's displeasure fall upon Him. The sinless Son wants the Father's face of blessing, enjoys it, seeks it, desires it, loves it. And there is nothing that wants Him to go into the darkness and have that face turn away from Him. And He's wrestling and He's in turmoil over that. And in the garden we see that great struggle. And yet, what does He do? He comes and He submits Himself to the Father's will, not His own desires, even those godly desires. But instead, He submits Himself to His Father's will. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. It's striking, and Sinclair Ferguson points this out in one of his sermons, it's striking how from that moment on, in that submission to His Father's will, He begins to walk in peace through the most difficult and challenging situations and moments you could imagine for someone. Because He is submitted to His Father's will, He trusts His Father and He is at peace. What is the Lord saying to you today as you learn this psalm? He's saying, you can trust Me. I am for your good. I want your best. So lay down your strivings and your strugglings. Humble yourselves. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Me. And as you do, you will find rest for your souls. For I myself will be your peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gospel, and we thank You for the work of Your Spirit, not only to bring us to faith, but to continue to work in us more and more, teaching us to turn away from sin, to die to self, and to live according to Your righteous way. We know that that doesn't earn your love, because you have shown us fully that you love us in the gospel, that you love us enough that you, not only is there the horror of the horrendous nature of our sin, that it would take the death of the Son to forgive us, but the glory of that, that you were willing and he was willing to come and offer up himself and do your will to show us and to pour out on us your love. And so we know that our work doesn't earn your love, but Lord, we struggle and fight to trust you. We want our desires, and we have a hard time putting them down. So give us your Spirit, Lord, and lead us into this rest. Lead us into this peace where we learn your ways, and we choose, even against our own fleshly desires, we choose to follow you. Grant us that peace of knowing you and that rest, that you will do what is right and good for us as we are submitted to you. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.